Welcome to this online interview by Project Cargo Weekly. Our very special guest of honor today is Mr. Jacob Jensen. He's the business development manager at Zenith in the UK. Zenith is an international project freight forwarder, and as mentioned, based in the UK. Very welcome, first of all, Jacob, to this interview.
Yeah, Bo, thank you very much.
You are most welcome. As we are both fellow Danes, but for the sake of our international audience, we better stick to the English language. So we'll proceed on that. I always allow my interviewees, or accused, as I sometimes call them, to elaborate a little bit on how they ended up where they are and got into logistics in the first place. And the same with you, Jacob. How come you're not sitting in a bank or working in Price Waterhouse? How come you're in logistics?
Yeah, thank you, Bolt. That's a very good question. In fact, the world is full of opportunities for young people to go into different industries, and most young people, they have so many opportunities that they may not even know where to go or what to do. Mm-hmm. So for me, it wasn't actually a coincidence so much, because I am second generation shipping industry professional, as yourself. I know we've spoken about that before. My father was a sea captain. He was a captain with Maersk Line back in the 70s, when shipping looked slightly different to what it looks today. Yeah. He then ventured in to becoming more of an office-based trade development manager with the ship owners in the European continent. And in fact, I actually grew up in Holland.
Okay.
In Rotterdam. My dad had a job in Rotterdam, and ever since I was very little, I remember hearing stories about shipping, international shipping, global shipping, ships. So for me, it wasn't a coincidence. It was, let's say, it is my passion, and it's always been, and I've always looked up to, of course, as most young children do, they look up to their parents. And I think you can probably relate to that, but I'm sure if I asked you the same question, I'm sure the answer wouldn't be too different.
No, very similar. Yeah.
But I'm extremely fortunate to be in this world of shipping, which is a great place to work. And it's given me many opportunities to not only see the world, but also speak to people all around the world and learn about different cultures, different ways of doing business, different ways of seeing the world as well.
Mm-hmm. I think not just about shipping, it's about people.
You get going with business and everything is so busy all the time. Some companies may forget how important it is to train the young ones, to also not only to keep them for longer in the company, but also to expand the skill sets and build on the knowledge that we have in the industry. Because if we don't, then one day the obvious will happen. I can only recommend to young people maybe listening to this interview to go and seek a trainee position. It may be a bit of a different way of doing it, but the trainee position I had at a Danish company was also so that we did a Danish Shipping Academy education alongside being a trainee. So we had a full-time job.
Nice.
And we did exams at the Danish Shipping Academy at the same time.
Yeah.
And that was probably perfect scenario, because I got to be involved on a daily basis in the industry. Shipping, I had lots of responsibilities in the office, but I also got the theoretical part of it to back up what I was doing on a daily basis. And I think you can go to as many universities as you like, but you have to be able to actually learn it by doing it.
Yeah.
And being a shipping trainee, by far one of the best ways to do that.
I fully agree. And I think what you are indirectly saying too, it's a call to all the would-be employers out there that they should take in more trainees and try to get their faces out of the smartphones and see the world of shipping. I fully agree with you. I started just like you as a trainee and then moved on. So let's hope it remains attractive logistics business. And I hope this interview can help. Excellent and wise words from you, Jacob. I really appreciate that. Thank you very much for that.
I'm extremely fortunate to be in this world of shipping, which is a great place to work. And it's given me many opportunities to not only see the world, but also speak to people all around the world and learn about different cultures, different ways of doing business, different ways of seeing the world as well.
Mm-hmm.
not just about shipping, it's about people. And I think for me, the reason why I chose to continue working in the industry is because it's a people's business. It is truly a business where network and connections with people is so important.
Just to now we understand a little bit about your background, and as you rightly said, we definitely share the same cup of tea there. Now, turning to your current position as business development manager in Zenith, who are Zenith? What are you doing, and where do you come from, as a wise man once asked?
Yeah, that's thanks, Bo. So Zenith International Freight, as we are, the full name of our company was founded in the year 2000, in Yorkshire, in England. And, you know, it came from small beginnings, but we've expanded, the company has expanded quite significantly in the UK, and they're now one of the leading independent providers of freight forwarding, logistics and supply chain solutions in the UK. And the reason for that is that we are a privately owned company. There are not many of those that are as big as we are. We have 80 people working for us in the UK. We have offices in 5 locations, and every day we move freight up and down the country. Now, we have different departments as well, both in our company. So we have ocean freight department, we have an air freight department, we have a road freight department, we have a customs brokerage department, all in-house. And then we have a project cargo department, which I am part of. And we do everything that has to do with logistics. Now, Zenith International Freight is not only a project freight forwarder, we are also a general freight forwarder, and it's split up into different departments that are based in different offices, depending on location. We take care of our clients' needs in that sense. So we are very much a unified company with 80 people, but we're also how do you say, we're focusing on different areas of expertise, and we try to gather the people and the skill sets in those offices, in clusters, you could say, so that we get the most out of our knowledge.
Yeah, sounds like a wise thing. I mean, competition is hard in the UK. You are island based, so to speak, because you are on an island. But a lot of forwarders claim to be very good in the UK. But being privately owned means, of course, also that you can move faster. I believe that some of the big names, I mean, you are more agile, flexible. You can take a quick decision, right?
Yes, very much so. Our founder and owner of the company is still very much involved in the business, which is a big, I think it's a big benefit to have him still being so involved. And he likes to get his hands, I wouldn't say dirty, but you know what I mean,
yes,
like, involved in the action. And he has a world of knowledge. And for me personally, to work with him on a daily basis is very, very opportunistic, not only for our clients, but certainly from a personal point of view as well.
Yeah, I can understand. The stations you got or the offices you got in the UK, where are they located specifically?
Yeah, thanks, Paul. That's a good question. We have offices in, so our head office is in Yorkshire.
Okay.
And we have office in Manchester. We have office in the Midlands. We have office in West London near Heathrow Airport, and in East London as well.
Okay, cool. Very good. Yeah, that seems to cover it all. I know that Yorkshire is mainly famous for is it pudding, and Inspector Lewis, he is supposed to be from Yorkshire. I saw in Inspector Morse back in the day, so at least most people know Yorkshire or something like.
Yeah.
I think that's correctly said. But how do you deal with the customers? You know that some of the shipping lines, a few of them specifically, they want to be the jack of all trades and hopefully the master of none. What I mean is they want to cut out the freight forwarder, which means you. How do you deal with that? And do you see that the ship owners who do that actually stand a chance of doing so?
Tough question. You're right. The trend is very much so that the large shipping lines, they want to do it all. Mm-hmm. And they want to offer their clients, as they call it, maybe a one-stop shop solution. Now, As I mentioned earlier, shipping and logistics is very much a people's business, and we strongly believe that being a relatively small company, we are able to offer that personal service, the customer service level, at a much, much higher level than the likes of, you know, the shipping lines that want to do it all, where maybe, you know, they have a call center somewhere and can't reach them. But for us, that's certainly not the case. No. Even though we are 80 people, each of our clients get a very personal level of service. So they would have one person to take that takes care of their daily business. They can always reach us on the phone.
Yeah,
and we're only, you know, we're on the doorstep because we are located all over England, where we have our five offices. Yeah.
Of course. No, it's something I addressed in the recent issue of Project Cargo Weekly, which, you know, I'm editor of, and thus interviewing you for this lack of customer service. And some lines think that to save money, they have a call center in the East Bloc, or former East Bloc, or in India or Philippines. I mean, irrespectively, of course, you won't have personal service like you can offer. And that's exactly what. But then again, the requirement is, of course, that you're really on the ball, because otherwise they will be breathing down your neck, I guess. How do you go about when you select? I mean, let's say you get a shipment from one of your customers. I suppose you try and select the ship owners that support the forwarders, the ones that don't go direct, right?
Not necessarily, Bo. Actually, we are very flexible when it comes to offering our clients the right solution.
Okay.
We have a world of networks, not only in the UK, but globally. Mm-hmm. We work with partners that we've worked with for many, many years. And I believe that the solution is out there somewhere. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of knowing the right people to make that solution come together, because a lot of what we do for our clients is project specific.
Oh, yeah.
And it's very complex. So it requires, as you know, a lot of, you know, different pieces of the puzzle to come together to create this solution that the client is happy with.
Mm.
And I think restricting ourselves to only work with certain carriers or certain ship owners, that wouldn't work for us.
It's a matter of
having the relationships with all the major, of course, the major carriers, but certainly also the smaller ones.
I understand. It makes sense that you're free, so to speak. Which ports in the UK would you say to our international viewers who are not so familiar and only know UK for London, perhaps? Which are the main, shall we say, ports for project cargo? I know it can be anywhere, but like a handful of the main ones, which ports could you mention there?
Yeah, I can mention a lot, actually. It really depends on the type of cargo.
Mm.
It also depends on the final destination, if it's importing. If it's exporting, I guess it depends on the dimensions, because if the dimensions are of a certain size, then the highways of England will dictate which port we have to export it from.
That's right.
It has to be the nearest port. So there are a lot. There's probably 80, I would say, commercial ports in the UK that are possible to use for us. So we have a very wide network of port owners. Some are private ports, some are more commercial ports. And we have a lot of options.
Okay, very, very good. So you can get as close to the cargo as possible. You have project cargo experience. Could you elaborate a little bit on a couple of the projects you've done, either import from overseas or to overseas? Have you moved turbines, transformers, you name it? Mention a couple of the projects you've handled.
Yeah, I'd love to mention them all, but I don't think we have enough time. I think potentially one of the things we do quite a bit is chartering vessels for our clients overseas as well. So we could have a UK-based client that wants to purchase, let's say, modules for building a factory or a plant, power plant, perhaps one of the renewable energy plants that are being built lots of in England at the moment. They want to import modules for building that.
Yeah.
So we help them find a suitable vessel, be it in Vietnam or China, and then we arrange all of that. We also collect from the factory in Vietnam or China,
okay.
and then we deliver it to the vessel quayside, and we have stevedores, we have the whole crew ready at the port, and then of course offloading at the nearest port in England would
okay,
be also on our scope.
Okay, so so-called cross trade from A to B, but sitting in C, or from L to M, sitting in N, would not be a problem for you. I mean, you have the contacts in place worldwide. And of course, I mean, you started in 2000, that's two decades ago. You would have the contacts abroad that you have dealt with for a long time that you can trust to, I suppose.
Yeah, that's a big part of it, but you're right. The trust is everything, isn't it?
Yeah.
We make a point of not only just doing business with people overseas, but we like to get to know them.
Yeah.
So we travel there, we meet them, we have dinners with them. You know, we get to know them also as individuals, not just as professionals. And
yeah.
I think it's really important that when you give someone our client's cargo, we have to know who they are and what they stand for, because when things go wrong, which sometimes they can, we need to make sure that we can handle it and we don't drop the ball completely, which is, touch wood, not happened yet.
Yeah.
Won't happen. So you're right, trust is a really, really important aspect of that. And again, one of the reasons why personally I love this business is because it's a people's business. And And we don't have to rely on computer systems, and we don't have to rely on coding, and it's really people who make things happen, right?
Yeah, no, and that hopefully will never change. I don't know about AI. I hope maybe we will be extinct someday, but let's hope for the best. No, but Zenith seems to be one of the larger, let's say, project forwarders and for general freight forwarders that really can do it all. And we have seen in recent years the disappearance of companies such as yours, unfortunately. But it's like the tide is turning back again. I think a lot of customers out there are tired of some robotic mega company that has fancy systems. But like you said, you can be reached on the phone. At least you pick up the phone. I mean, try and call some of the mega ones if you ever can get through, you know. So, yeah. And in this respect, are you a part of some networks outside? Do you plan to be? Do you attend trade shows, break bulk fairs? How do you go about, let's say, getting sure that the world know about you, besides this interview, of course?
Yes, all of the above. I would say yes to, but it is important, especially for a company such as Zenith International Freight, to be where the action is, I would say. And it's not, we don't travel the world to sell what we do, because we, frankly speaking, don't have to. We have a reputation in the market. We are not extremely well known, but we have. Let's say we have built up partnerships worldwide with the right people who we can trust and rely on. So yes, it's great to be part of networks, and I strongly believe that what you're doing also with your networks is very, very important, and it's a very good thing. And we are part of networks like that. Unfortunately, we spoke earlier this year, and there was no more space in your network. So we are part of other networks at the
understand,
moment, which works well for us as well. Perhaps one day.
We'll make it happen if we have to make room for you in this case. So, but listen, Jacob, that's really good, and I think I come myself from forwarding background, so I know exactly what you're saying, and hence we started basically networks and this newsletter to cater for giving smaller companies a voice in the world. So definitely here you are. What is in the crystal ball for Zenith in for 2024, and how do you view the market next year?
Do you mean the market in terms of
Let's see. I mean, do you see positive signs from your customers? They're still exporting, importing. How is the mood? Do you think 2024 will be a good year?
Yeah, I think what I've seen in the UK recently, you could almost call it a bit of a trend, would be companies that we deal with, they are very keen to take over responsibility for logistics, so they don't have to rely on their suppliers. Maybe they're importing and they have to they don't want to rely on their suppliers anymore for shipping. They want to take control of that, and also when shipping out to their customers for export, they also want to gain control of that freight movement. So what I'm seeing is actually positive for freight forwarders in the UK now. The market as a whole, what will happen with, you know, rates and so on? Yeah, did I know that, I probably wouldn't be standing here talking to you. But I think the trend at the moment is it's stabilizing. I think that's the word, because we've been through some rough years now, and I think we all agree that we all need a bit of stability in that world of freight rates, because it's been a bit of a roller coaster in many senses. And I think we'll probably come into a period now with, if all things remain equal as they are now, we would see some stability in the freight market.
Sounds about right. I mean, after Corona, where everyone was happy and wringing their hands in joy because they were fully booked, now times have changed, and we are now definitely before Corona now. So anything is possible. But it sounds to me like you have the right setup, you have the right size, good control, personal service, exactly what most customers would want. Not only a race to the bottom, but also customer service, and you certainly can provide it. I think you've replied most of my questions here very well, Jacob, as I would have expected from you as a fellow Dane. And I can hear your accent is definitely a lot better than mine. So it does help to live in the UK. I can hear that. But Jacob, let me just ask one final question. When did you physically, or let's say actually start in Zenith? Was it this year already?
It was, yes. It was in August, actually.
Okay. Yeah. And you come off to a great start, and you look happy. So it seems to me that it was the right decision.
The people who do know it, they only can say very good things about it. And that's something that I think speaks highly of the type of company it is. But before we finish, there's one thing I wanted to say. And I think it's maybe a good time to say that as well, because I think shipping industry, and especially the project logistics industry, is one which should attract more talent than it does. Now, you may agree with that. I think there's a lot of topics being spoken about in the industry and on the breakbulk fairs and so on, how to attract young people into the industry.
And with these words, I want to say formally, thank you very much for this interview, Jacob.
Thank you, Bo. Pleasure as always.
Same here. And to all our listeners, viewers, and readers from around the world, this was yet another great interview by Project Cargo Weekly. Our special guest of honor today has been Mr. Jacob Jensen, the Business Development Manager at Zenith in the UK, a versatile and strong project and general freight forwarder with UK routes, going about their business on a daily basis. So if you need anything out of the UK or elsewhere, do contact them. For me here at Project Cargo Weekly, I'll be back again soon, and stay tuned for more interviews in the near future. Thank you.